Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen. It is another edition of Front Trenches Stock Car Scoop. Brian Nolan here alongside my man Adam Cheek as we recap the latest in the NASCAR Cup Series. And boy, oh boy, Adam, we got a little bit, actually, let's be honest, we got a lot to talk about because it was absolute insanity at the Indy Road Course, the first ever time the NASCAR Cup Series took to the track. And boy, oh boy, there was a little bit of everything. There was some good, but there was a whole lot of bad. So let's just dive right into this, Adam. First and foremost, it was a chaotic day that ended up with a very, very surprise winner, that being Matt Collins' driver and AJ Allmendinger. Second ever win for AJ. First ever win for Collins Racing in the Cup Series. His 11th ever NASCAR win just overall. Absolutely incredible. Adam, can you try and sum up what this day was that we witnessed on Sunday afternoon?
I can try, but I'm tempted to say, no, I cannot do that. There's so much going on. Early on, you have the normal stuff you see at a road course. You got a car spinning out here. You got a car spinning out there. No caution. It's fine. They get going again. But then, you know, five laps left, Kyle Larson is pretty much checked out and boom, chaos. You know, Kyle Larson checked out. There was a caution for debris. They restart. And then William Byron hits the curbing in turn six in that chicane in the infield. Boom, it rips apart the undercarriage of his car. It like guts that car and sends him spinning. And then like 10 other cars end up spinning behind him, at least 10 others. And Logano goes at high speed into the tire barriers, which is pretty terrifying to watch, which it reminded me a little bit of when David Ruderman flipped into the tire barriers at Watkins Glen about 10 years ago. You know, there's that one wild shot of the Logano hitting the barrier and it zooms in as he comes to a stop. And then like four other cars come sliding into the frame simultaneously. Red flag for all that. They get it cleaned up. Then another massive crash happens despite them removing the curbing. And then we finally finish and it's AJ Allmendinger's second ever win. His first since 2014. It's colleagues first as a cup team and they're planning on going cup racing or full time at least. But before that, Chase Briscoe gets forced across the grass, gets back in line, gives the position back to Denny Hamlin, and gets penalized and then seemingly retaliates by spinning him out. It was just endless chaos and everything's going on. And it was an incredibly wild day. You know, for the record, I love the change to the road course from the oval, but hopefully next year's race is a little bit calmer. I'm glad they had the 1 p.m. start too because of the way this race went.
You mentioned a little bit about Chase Briscoe, and let's dive into that right now. He received a penalty after he jumped the first corner on the first overtime with two laps to go. Then he proceeded to spin out Denny Hamlin. Now, after the race, he said that it was not on purpose, him spinning the 11 car. In your opinion, what is your view of the incident, and was it intentional?
Well, it's such a tough situation for both of them because Briscoe is having a really solid run. He's restarted second, and Hamlin was looking for his first win of the year, trying to, you know, completely lock himself into the playoffs. But I kind of disagree with the penalty because Briscoe going across the grass was a product of the way that first corner went. Everyone kind of went wide. That domino effect ended up pushing everyone wide, and Briscoe got the worst end of it by getting forced onto the grass. And you know, he gets into the grass. He basically has to drive out of it the best he can. And he rejoins the track basically in the same spot he was in before, kind of where he would be if he kept racing Hamlin, and gave the top spot back to Hamlin before that excursion. But I don't know about punting the number 11, not being on purpose. But I think it was just a racing deal as a whole, and NASCAR probably should have just let it play out. You know, just the last few laps of an already chaotic race and something that they probably should have just let go. It would have been interesting to see who would have won between them.
All right, Adam, let's dive into what everybody's been wanting to talk about. Let's dive into the curbs. And because after 90% of this race, the final 10% was absolutely pandemonium. I mean, the curb disintegrates five laps ago. You mentioned a little bit ago, Joey Logano is just absolutely goes straight into the tire barriers. William Byron, Kyle Busch, you got Ryan Preece, Daniel Suarez, a gaggle of cars.
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically, you get a car. Everybody gets a wreck, apparently. So it was a 20-minute red flag. They go back to NASCAR overtime. Then there's more wrecking. Michael McDowell's wrecking. Austin Dillon, Tyler Reddick. That was a 5-minute red flag. So there was two big wrecks because of these curbs. And then you go back all the way to yesterday and where six cars got taken out because of the curbing, in which we also saw the 26 car of Chris Wright. I know he's a pilot, on the day side when he's not driving a car, but he also went airborne, not in an airplane, on Saturday. Because of that, there were six more cars, Brandon Jones, Kevin Harvick, that got their days ruined on Saturday because of the exact same thing we saw on Sunday. So, with that being said, how could NASCAR race control have handled this differently, and what impact will have it on racing at Indy for future years to come?
Well, basically, that entire situation with Chris Wright was like combining the two late 80s, early 90s Tony Scott, Tom Cruise films. You got Days of Thunder and you got Top Gun. It was like combining them into one crash. But honestly, after yesterday, you know, I probably would have ripped the curbing out entirely like they did today. But I would have just had the lines painted with the tower and forcing if someone tried to, you know, intentionally cut it. Because even after the melee today, the first melee, and the crews removing that initial part of the curbing that caused problems, they left in that one sausage curb that turned Chris Wright's car into an airplane. It turned Corey LaJoie's car into one during the lap before that big crash. And then it did the same to Michael McDowell a little bit later and set off that other big crash. And I think, honestly, next year, I think we'll just see lines there. Like, maybe for the IndyCars, since they're a little more nimble and can navigate that stuff, they'll have the curbing. But for the NASCARs, you know, have, like, painted lines.
What about tire barrier?
I don't know. You mean, like, the ones that Logano crashed into?
Yeah.
I think those are good to keep there, just because I know he would have gone straight through that fence if they hadn't been there and into the people behind it. But yeah, I think we'll just see lines painted on there next year for the most part, maybe a couple of turtles, a couple of curbing bits, but it's a tight enough chicane that I feel like they just need to tell the drivers how to run it without having the potential for liftoff every time someone flies to the corner, you know, or if they keep the curbing, just elongate the chicane a bit, just the way the cup cars handle. I think that's the extent of the effect it's going to have on future racing at Indy, at least NASCAR wise. But otherwise, you know, I really enjoyed the race and look forward to NASCAR coming back, and I'm sure they'll make the changes necessary to fix that chicane, because that was rough.
Well, if there's one thing I know, is there's a lot of storylines to talk about, because this was absolute pandemonium. It was chaos, and I loved it. And you know what? We got people on the ground at Indy to recap this chaos. So check out all the latest on frontstretch.com. You can follow both of us on Twitter at TheBrianOlm and at FrontStretch at Adam and Cheekin for all the latest. Once again, frontstretch.com. For Adam Cheekin, I'm Brian Olm. Thank you so much for listening to us, and we'll be back next Friday to preview the race at Michigan.
Looking forward to getting back to oval racing on some level, and I'm sure those cup drivers are too.